Welcome to C2 Proficiency Quest. Welcome to C2 Proficiency Quest, the podcast for C2 English level students. I'm your host, Alba Casado, a student sharing her journey towards proficiency in English. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And don't forget to hit subscribe so you don't miss any of my episodes. Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of C2 Proficiency Quest. Here with me today is Rohit from GoGetter English. He's an English teacher. He runs the website gogetterenglish.es, in which he offers some courses to help students prepare for Cambridge exams. And he also has a podcast called English Before Going to Bed, which helps students learn English, and he gives pretty good advice on how to learn English better. Hello, Rohit. How are you?
Well, thank you very much, Abba. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for being here with us. Is there anything else you want to tell us about yourself?
Well, nothing much. You pretty much summed it up all in this wonderful introduction. It's the only thing I do is help my students achieve whatever goals they might have in their midterms or long term, and just try to make them feel at ease when learning some English.
Wonderful. So, as always, just for fun and to get to know you a little bit better, let me start with a random question. Would you rather skip Christmas or your birthday for a year, and why?
It is a very funny question, and I had never thought about it because I wouldn't be able to live without any of those two. Mm-hmm. But I think if I had to skip one, it would be, you know, missing Christmas for a mm-hmm. year. Although I'm a very Christmassy person, I think I would do well without Christmas, but not without my birthday.
What is that?
I consider my birthday is the only day I can devote to myself. Mm. It's the only day for me. Rest of the days of the year I devote to other people, to my family, to my students, but that day is just reserved for me, so I wouldn't be able to skip that one.
Yeah, it makes sense. All right, so let's dive in. In your sure. website, you offer courses to help students to prepare for the Cambridge exams. Could you tell us a little bit more about the courses?
Sure. Well, one of the things that plays in favor of Cambridge exams is that the structure of the exam can be thoroughly prepared. Mm-hmm. That means, what I mean is that each exercise has a very clear aim when it comes to testing your grammar, your vocabulary, or even your comprehension. In fact, our online courses precisely help students become familiar with the mechanics of each exercise. Mm-hmm. And of course, with that, they expand on their vocabulary and consolidate their grammar. And most importantly, all the writing exercises are corrected by an actual teacher. There's a physical person correcting all the writings. So it's actually a very complete service. We think we provide like 100%, you know, support for our students. And then probably one of the things that any online training you do nowadays is that you can track all your progress on the platform. So the platform actually tells you where you are, what you need, and what you need to improve.
Yeah, that sounds great, because I really need that feedback to be able to motivate myself and learn better, you know?
That's actually what this whole platform provides. So it's actually kind of a blended way of getting things together for your preparation, for our students' preparation. So you have the support of an actual teacher plus the tracking system of the online platform. So it's very complete.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And I know you also offer conversation lessons focused on the speaking parts of the test. What can students expect from them?
Well, we think that the best way to prepare for the speaking part is to precisely, you know, practice that format, the format of the Cambridge exam. And you can do that as many times as, you know, as you can to actually get used to what is coming during the speaking exam. In fact, our speaking sessions simulate all the parts of the proficiency exam so that there are no surprises on exam day. Mm-hmm. We also try to give our students as many tips and tricks as we can so that they feel confident, you know, while they're taking their test. So all in all, you know, we try to make our students feel as they would when they're ready to take their proficiency speaking test, you know, like, so there are no surprises on exam day. We go through all the parts in each session.
Yeah, that's essential. I remember when I was preparing for the C1 advanced test, and I practiced a lot, but I didn't get all the feedback I would have liked.
That is very necessary so that you can actually practice what you need to practice for the test.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, we miss the shot by practicing things that are not necessary. Mm-hmm. And with a speaking simulation, you actually get to experience what the speaking exam will be like.
Exactly. So I think many students, myself included, get nervous when thinking about the speaking part of the test. And we kind of have some ideas that may or may not be completely true. What are some misconceptions about the C2 proficiency speaking paper?
Well, I think that anyone, you know, anyone taking a C2 exam already has great command of the language. Mm-hmm. So, and that can sometimes play against you. Because, you know, I think one of the most common misconceptions is that you can go into the exam room without having prepared anything just because you think you have a decent level of English. And I see this constantly happening with some of my students. You know, they have incredible command of English, but they totally miss the task, you know, miss the objective of each task. So students many times forget about focusing on that. And they just try to use, you know, these super complex structures and very long words just because they know them.
Yeah.
But they don't tend to complete the task they're asked for. You know, like, you know, the first one is comparing and contrasting, and they, you know, just wander off. They never compare and contrast. So it's kind of one of those things that my students, especially the high-level ones, tend to come into my classes with. So I tend to, you know, kind of guide them into the right direction.
Yeah, because one of the points that are being assessed is content, and you need to talk about that, about what they're asking, right? You cannot just say, okay, I have a decent level of English, I can talk about anything because I can do it. No, you have to talk about what they're asking you to talk.
Exactly. Every bit of the speaking exam has an aim. And they need to see that you can fulfill those aims. You know, you can complete those aims with, along with your skills, of course.
Mm-hmm. And what general advice would you give to someone preparing for the C2 proficiency in order to improve their speaking skills?
Well, that's actually an impressive question. That's a great question. Well, I'd highly recommend anyone preparing for the C2 to write down like a, you know, small script in the form of a template for each part. This template should definitely include some, you know, the typical ones, you know, discourse markers, maybe an inversion or two, and of course, the most accurate vocabulary they can come up with. Precisely, one of the good things that about Cambridge is that you know what to expect from each part. So preparing, even though it's tough, can be done conscientiously without missing any of the points. Mm-hmm. It's precisely the, you know, the automated structure that the speaking exam actually entails that helps you prepare better because you know what's coming, you know what to do. Mm-hmm. So I would say that create like small templates, small scripts as to what you can answer in each part.
That's awesome advice because you really need to, and coming back to what I said about getting nervous, I think having that structure can give you peace. In some way.
Absolutely. Very, very important to feel confident when you're taking the exam.
Yeah. And now let's say I have a good command of grammar when I'm writing, but I'm a disaster when it comes to speaking. How could I improve?
Well, that's another brilliant question. Well, it goes without saying that guided practice is essential to improve any skill. What I mean by guided practice is, of course, a teacher or maybe an online platform, anything that helps you go in the right direction. Well, since speaking is also a productive skill, it's very necessary to create situations in which you are forced to use, you know, the language you want to learn, in this case, English. And one of the things I love doing with my C2 students is to make them prepare, you know, tiny presentations about their jobs, about their hobbies, you know, their passions, so that they get used to structuring what they want to say in a coherent way, and then, of course, delivering it, producing it. So I think, you know, tiny presentations actually help people go from the written to the spoken.
That's brilliant, because in the test, you're going to end up talking about yourself, talking about your ideas about different topics, and you need to be prepared for that, right? And one thing you can do is actually think about those things, right?
Absolutely.
And at least for myself, it is easier to organize my thoughts by writing them first, and then I can talk about them.
Absolutely. And I think it completes two aims at the same time. Mm-hmm. One of it was you're practicing your writing, and then you're actually producing it orally. So I think it's a very complete exercise if you do both.
Exactly. And what if I had a problem recalling vocabulary words on the spot? What could I do?
Well, this is probably $1 million question. This is the question everybody needs an answer to. And I think that sadly, it depends on everybody's memory. I think memory plays a huge part in this area of accuracy and fluency in our speaking. One of the things I have my students do, and not too many people might actually agree, is that I have them translate mentally from their own language into English. No matter what level they are, I tend to focus on complex structures that they can use in their own language, and then have them do the mental exercise of translating it into English. Of course, we play with a small advantage over here is because I can also be considered like a bilingual Spanish speaker. So I know what their problems might be when it comes to, you know, developing a discourse or when it comes to developing a writing exercise.
Yes.
So what I tend to suggest them doing is probably, you know, have them do 5 or 10 sentences with key vocabulary that they need to remember. And I also prepare little games that usually involve flashcards, of course. Flashcards are probably the most useful resource we can actually make use of when it comes to vocabulary acquisition. So I think the combination of both can actually give students a more mental ability, more mental stability when it comes to recalling vocabulary.
Totally. I think I abandoned translations when I got to an intermediate level, and I'm coming back to them now because they're useful. I know certain concepts, certain abstract words in my native language, and why would I just forget about them? It doesn't make any sense, right? If I know the concepts, I can use them.
Absolutely. And then, you know, once you build those connections between your native language and the target language, it's much easier to adapt them to your own style of speaking or writing. So it's super important that you are aware of how you talk in your own native language to actually develop what you can do in other languages. So that would be a great exercise. I always recommend it.
Absolutely. And if I wanted to improve my pronunciation, what things could I do?
Sure. Well, taken for granted that your pronunciation is brilliant. It's impeccable.
Thank
of course,
you.
If we were talking about any of our students, it could be, you know, of course, I think that the most helpful resource is the internet. I think the internet has given us so much scope to actually develop our English on that YouTube and Netflix and even podcasts like this one can help model certain words and sentences that students can later reproduce. Actually, the main advice or the piece of advice that I would share is that you can't be shy when reproducing the type of English you want to talk. If you want to talk like an American, then just try doing that. Listen to all the American accents you can and do it. Or if it's British or Australian, choose one and try to reproduce it as often as possible. And a really important exercise that students should get used to is hearing themselves.
Yeah.
So recording them, you know, and having them listen to it back gives them a firsthand experience of what they sound like. And usually, with the teacher's help, they can improve those areas that are most necessary.
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more. The whole idea of this podcast started when I was preparing for the C1 Advanced, and I would record myself and listen back and listen when I was doing chores or when I was walking the dog or anything. And yeah, that was a game changer for me.
Absolutely. And it's so useful to hear yourself. Some people actually feel very embarrassed when they hear themselves, but yeah. It's so useful. It is just amazingly useful. And I totally recommend everybody doing it.
Yeah. Now that you mentioned that, I'm going to share something. I remember some years ago, a teacher made me do that, made me record myself in class. And I was going to cry. I couldn't help myself. I was so embarrassed. But I saw that, well, nothing happened really.
There you go.
It was just me, and I could analyze my speech and I could improve from that. So I saw how useful it was, and I started doing it myself. And I mean, now I'm sharing it with others, but then I wasn't, so I was safe. It was safe.
Excellent, excellent. And that's something that everybody should get used to, really. Listen to yourself and then improve on the things you want to change. Simple as that.
Yeah. And in your opinion, how difficult is it to go from C1 to C2 level? And what does it take?
Well, I think it all comes down to two things. It all boils down to two main things. The first thing is the amount of effort you're going to put in. Mm-hmm. It's just unbelievable the amount of effort that you need to be prepared to put into the preparation of any Cambridge level exam. Like, even if you're preparing for the PET, for the PET, you need to put in that much effort. It's just so important. You can't just give up. You need to be consistent, have a plan, and reach your objectives step by step. I think that's the first thing. Put in a lot of effort. Mm-hmm. And the second one, and I think that's the hardest one for everyone, is the time. You need to prepare for a Cambridge exam with time in your hands. Otherwise, it's not going to work. There's no way you can hurry this. There's no way you can actually wing it. No, there's no improvising in a Cambridge exam. You need to have enough time to become familiar with all the parts of the test. You need to understand what each part requires, and then, of course, practice it. You need a lot of time to do it. I think a whole proficiency exam, just one mock exam, is what, 4 hours to practice? So that's kind of mind-boggling right there. So effort and time, I would say. That's what I would say.
Yeah, and even if you do a mock test, you need to analyze it and learn from your mistakes. And that's, yeah, a lot more. So
it's very time-consuming. So make sure you have enough time to do it.
Yeah, I'm a planner, so I couldn't agree more with that. And I'm not in a hurry. I'm just doing this because I love English and I want to get to the level and further. So
I think the name of your podcast is super accurate when it comes to, you know, denominating something like that, because it's actually a quest. It is.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going for. And since you have a lot of experience preparing students for this test, could you tell us about how life is after passing the C2 proficiency?
Well, I thought this question was really funny, because most of my students actually do it out of their own self-achievement. You know, they want to improve what they can do in English and actually get to the excellence level that they want to get to.
Yeah.
Most of my students do it because they want to get a better job or promote in their current jobs. That's mostly the main objective. Mm-hmm. However, I don't know if it's kind of coincidental, but most of the people that I train are usually teachers themselves. Mm-hmm. So they want to feel confident when they teach the language.
Yeah.
And most of them have gone on to become university professors or have opened up their own language school. So something to really feel proud of course, after you have attained such a great level of English. So I think that there are many ways to actually make the most of your C2, But the ones I've been able to experience with are usually university professors or language school owners right now.
Great. And to wrap up the interview, if you had to recommend one single resource or give one piece of advice to help us pass the speaking paper of the test, what would it be?
This is a very difficult question. It's an extremely difficult question because it's like summarizing everything you need to do in one sentence. But actually, I think that, and I think you have like 50% of your quest already, you know, achieved, which is, Alba, you are a planner. I think that is super, super important when it comes to facing any of the Cambridge exams. Mm-hmm. If you plan well, you will end up achieving the goals. I heard once Rafa Nadal explain how he had become a professional. He's a righty. He does everything with his right hand. Mm-hmm. However, when he plays tennis, he's a lefty. He mm-hmm. plays with his left hand, and he says that that he got that after doing or after practicing 30,000 hours.
Wow!
Just with his left hand, and that's how you become a professional, apparently. Well, with the Cambridge exam, of course, it's not that amount of hours that you need to spend, but it's more or less the same concept. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I would suggest is keep doing it. You know, be consistent, plan everything and track everything you do. That's the only way you'll be able to pass your C2.
Well, I will. Thank you so much for your advice. Thank you so much for being here with us today. And if the listeners want to get in touch with you or your work, where can they find you?
Well, they can, of course, log on to our website and just check it out. We are at gogetterenglish.es. And of course, we're throughout our social networks. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook, and they can just check us out anytime.
Awesome. Well, I'll leave the links in the show notes. And thank you again for sharing awesome advice with us. It's been very useful for me, and I'm sure our listeners will benefit from it too. So thank you very much and have a great day.
Thank you so much, Alba, for having me.
Again, if you enjoyed the episode, don't forget to subscribe and share with anyone you think might be interested. And if you have 2 minutes to spare, I would really, really appreciate a quick rating and a review. Your ideas will help me improve, create meaningful content, and reach more students. Also, check the show notes for links to my Instagram account and the Facebook page, and other resources mentioned in this episode. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll catch you next time.